You would turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Also, we still have a theme verse for this series of messages, and that is Proverbs 25:19. But if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13 and 14 as we continue to look at a devoted life, a devoted life. This is the sixth message in this series, and this morning we're looking at God's Word. You know, being devoted to God's Word in our Christian walk. Proverbs 25:19 says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble." You see, life is full of trouble, and we need to be faithful and devoted people. But when confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Very painful, no substance. And what we can have in this world as we walk by faith, we have God's Word. God's Word to help us to be faithful for a roadmap, comfort in time of trouble, a roadmap, a love letter from God to us to give us assurance as we walk. Please stand this morning as we read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Everyone, grip your Bible. Grip it. Hold fast. Military term. Hold fast. It's a lot more than just gripping it hard with your hands. But it's an outward show of us holding fast. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we live in a time of grace, that as Americans, we have the privilege of holding your word from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you for allowing us by your grace to be able to be here this morning. Lord, I ask that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. May the church be encouraged this morning to stay true to your word, to stay with your word through it all. And may it be for your praise and your glory and for your honor. Amen. You may be seated. I've had the privilege of teaching through 1 and 2 Timothy and now Titus on Wednesday nights. They are called the pastoral epistles. And we look in these three epistles, these three letters to the church for church organization. And it's full of how to organize a church biblically, but one of the main reasons why these epistles were written is to combat false teachings that was infiltrating the church. You can learn a lot about what false teaching does by reading 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And the only way for God's people to combat false teachings that tries to infiltrate the church is to stay true to God's Word and to teach biblical doctrine backed up with God's Word. That's the only thing we have. False teachers do not want sound doctrine taught in the church. False teaching does not want God's Word taught in the church. But we as devoted people, faithful people, we're going to stay with God's Word. We're going to cling to biblical doctrine. By the way, the Baptist Faith and Message, a very generic doctrinal statement, if you would read that, there's at least 20 to 30 passages of Scripture backing up every doctrinal statement that we have. That is not a doctrine of man, but that's Bible. Everyone say Bible. But see, to combat false teaching, We must stay with biblical doctrine and stay with God's Word. 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus teach us that on how to have organization and to stay true to God's Word. And he says to hold fast. Hold fast to the pattern of healthy, sound words. You know, the healthy, sound words you and I have, it's all right here. Right here. Hold fast to it. Paul, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, who now resides in us, penned this letter to the church. And we are to hold fast. You know, many times, the older people will say, experience is all that you need to make it in life. And sometimes younger people will tell you, all you need is to be educated and have intelligence to make it in life. And yet we need both, don't we? Especially in the church. We need the older, we need the younger. But I come to tell you this morning, as your pastor, the older and the younger both needs to stay with God's Word and to meditate upon it, read it, cling, hold fast to God's Word. That sounds very basic this morning, but study after study, look it up on the internet yourself through LifeWay. It says, all the Barna study says, that we are becoming more and more illiterate to God's Word in the church. In the church. Many people within the church does not know the difference between Noah and Moses and all the heroes of faith in the Bible. And sometimes we take pride in what we don't know. So hold fast. Hold fast to the pattern of healthy words. You know, times in my life, I'll confess to you this morning, the times in my life that I walked mostly after the flesh is when I was not in God's Word. Times in my life where I was clinging more to the world and committed adultery spiritually against a loving God who loved me and saved me were the times that I was not reading and meditating upon God's Word. I stayed out of church. I did things that I thought God would be pleased with me to do, but I did not love the things that God loved because I was not in His Word. And times that I really messed up pastoring God's people were the times that I was only in God's Word to study for a message or a teaching instead of feeding upon it myself. And pastor and preach from the overflow of my relationship. In the times in my life that God's presence was so evident, and I knew God was with me and it was with me through anything, were the times that I was in God's Word. And loved God's Word and looked forward to reading God's Word and meditating on it. You know, reading plans are fabulous. It helps us read through God's Word. But sometimes just reading one verse and meditating on it, memorizing it, and putting it in your heart means a lot more than reading 10 chapters a day and not knowing what you read. Feeding on God's Word and holding fast to it. We're encouraged to be devoted, faithful people. We got to be with God's Word and stay with it. We are to be devoted to God's Word. I came up with four things among many. But number one, for conversion. If anybody is saved this morning, it is because you heard God's Word or read God's Word, that an incorruptible seed, and you, by faith, believe what God said. that you're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior and you repented of your sins and you turned to Jesus as Lord and Savior and you were saved. You only knew that by God's Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures," listen to this, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You see, the Scriptures leads us to be converted. To be conversion means a new creation, a new person in Christ Jesus. And the Scriptures lead us into this conversion, to make us wise unto salvation that's only in Jesus Christ. So because of conversion, and even the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if He wouldn't have done that, then we would have no hope today of conversion. You see, if God's Word is good enough to save us, if God's Word is good enough for us to believe, make us wise unto salvation, please listen, then God's Word is good enough to help you live a godly Christian life. If it's good enough to save you, then that's all you need to live a godly, holy life before Him. It's what we need, what I need to live godly. Number one, conversion. Because of conversion, it was good enough to save us, then it's good enough for us to read it, meditate on it, to grow in faith. You see, if you come to a point in your life where you think you have arrived and there's no more growth for you spiritually, then you have backslidden. All of us, whether it's John 3:16 is so deep and full of treasure for us to study and meditate upon. But if you have arrived, you need to get back in God's Word. Conversion. Secondly, devoted to God's Word because of correction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. None of us like to be corrected. But listen, this is so important that when we're in God's Word, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Why is that so important? Let's read 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture," which means the Old Testament, the New Testament, "it is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So it is God's Word that helps us to mature and become a full-grown Christian. It's only by studying and meditating upon God's Word. But He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." The times in my life I know about me. The times in my life that I was walking in the flesh because I was not in God's Word like I should have, it took someone else to correct me or rebuke me. If my heart was not tender, I became mad, got angry. Who do you think you are? Most time it was my wife. The times in my life where I am in God's Word and I'm meditating on it, feeding upon it, hungry for God's Word, and I'm walking in the Spirit, only God's Word was enough to correct me. God's Word was enough for me to repent because I was in the Word. So it's for correction. Let God's Word correct you. Let the Holy Spirit of God that resides in us Use that word and illuminate the Scripture for us to be a full-grown, mature Christian and not a little adolescent or a little toddler that takes somebody else to slap your hand and pat you there and say, don't do that, don't do this. All you have is milk to feed on. Get in God's Word and get in the meat, and only you can chew it yourself. You have to chew it for it to correct you. Thirdly, comfort. God's Word brings so much comfort. It brings comfort. So many times in my life, it was God's Word. God and His Word sometimes is all I've had to make it through things. Oh, and it brought comfort. Sometimes, as your pastor, even you have came by, maybe at funerals or Sunday mornings or even Wednesday nights. Good job. You tell me good job, and I appreciate it. But I've come to the realization. Brother Henry's putting my sermons back on the internet, and I took enough courage to listen to one last week. Y'all will have stars in your crowns to listen to me every Sunday. I don't see how you do it. I sound like Mickey Mouse. I do. I grew up watching Mickey Mouse, and I sound like Mickey Mouse on the recordings. What's my point? And this is not a false humility. I don't see how you do it, really. But what actually does a good job? Is it the man? Is it your Sunday school teacher? If it's the man or your teacher or whoever, it wasn't God. God uses us. But it's God's Word that does the good job. Scripture does the good job. Scripture brings comfort. And someone who Scripture brings comfort to many times can stand here and tell you Scripture will bring you comfort. It works every time. Every time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How are we comforted as God's people? The Holy Spirit and His Word. That's why we have comfort. The prayers of one another brings comfort. So we, to share this same comfort, we must share prayer, we must share God's Word, and we must rely on the Holy Spirit to take the rest of it. He's the God of all comfort. So we must trust His Word for comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 says, the Apostle Paul in this passage talks about the return of Christ. And Brother Robert shared about the kingdom. We enter it by childlike faith. And yet there's something better coming. We can sense it. There's something better that's going to happen. And all this turmoil in the world, we as God's people take comfort from God's Word, knowing that something better is coming for us. And he talks about the return of Christ, and he ends it by saying, therefore, comfort one another with these words. God's Word. Comfort. God's Word brings comfort. Knowing that He's going to come back. What a beautiful day today for the Lord to come. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. Oh, how I'd love to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hand. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come back. Comfort. Comfort from God's Word. There was a time in my life that I went to church. I've told you this some time back, but I'd go to church about once a month. Set out to go more than that. I'd drag around. Lisa say, come on. Me and Lewis is ready. I'd drag around. And then I'd drive to one of the churches there by Little Rock Air Force Base and be at the parking lot and say, I don't want to go there today. Let's go on. Oh, I knew how to play it. Then by the time I drive across Jacksonville, Arkansas, I don't want to walk in late. I've done that I don't know how many times, and Alicia put up with it. Oh, I was running. I was running. And then, by the providence and grace of God, our uncle sent me overseas. I packed a duffel bag, had everything I needed, but I didn't put the Bible in it, but she did. And folks, that was the best thing. Better than clean underwear. That Bible. That Bible that my wife put in my duffel bag. And I tell you what, this old boy that was running as hard as he could not get away from God's Word. Because it brought comfort. Comfort to me. Comfort. We are to be devoted because of the comfort we receive from it. Number four, I'm one of those preachers. Sometimes Adrian Rogers is one of my favorites. And Adrian Rogers, every one of his points either rhymed or started with the same letter. I cannot do that. So this number four does not begin with the C. I'm sorry. But here's number four. We ought to be devoted to God's Word because it has the answers. Simply, it has the answers for life. When you ask me a question, the only thing I can do is look in God's Word for the answer for you or help you look for the answer. That's the only thing I can do for you is turn to God's Word. But you know what? That's all we need. That's all we need. It has the answers. All of life, there is no gray areas. Listen to me. When you're in God's Word and feeding upon God's Word, all those little gray areas in life that we make, they're not in God's Word. There may not be a thou shalt not, but there is, we are above the law now, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it has for us. It has the answers. When I was in high school, would you believe that I made A's, straight A's, in algebra? Me. Now, young people, listen to me. This is wrong, what I did. But I made straight A's because there was a little girl that sat in front of me and she made A's. Her name was Alicia. Now I make straight A's in my checkbook balance and straight A's and keeping the books and all that because she doesn't. But I made an A in algebra because Alicia had the answers. She had the homework. She did it. That was wrong. Because when I went into college, you know how many times I had to take college algebra? Because she wasn't sitting in there with me. It's embarrassing to even say. You see, you reap what you sow sometimes, don't you? All the time. That's a law. Has the answers. That little story, when it's compared to God's Word is so much more than just having the answers. It is our life. It's our life. God's Word is our life. It has all the answers. Psalm 119. very center of our Bibles, the largest chapter in the Bible, and it's about the Bible. It's about God's Word. Listen to some of these Psalms in Psalm 119. Verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Verse 73 says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. "Then I said, behold, I have come, and the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." Please listen. God's Word has all the answers, especially to the big questions. How to be saved. Faith in Christ. If you are reading God's Word or memorizing God's Word without faith in Jesus Christ, without seeking faith in Jesus Christ, you're no better than the devil. The devil knows this too. The volume of the book is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And if it's about self-help or improving yourself apart from Jesus, you're no better than the faith of the devil. The volume, the whole book is about Jesus and a relationship with Him. That's the answer. That's it. How can we then? Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, in His Word. I took one of the theology classes that I took in seminary. Had a very, very smart professor. I mean, he used words. I had to have my little pocket dictionary. I didn't want no one to see me do it, but I'd go like that to figure out what the man was saying. And I wrote a 32-page paper and turned it in. I had to write three of them in that one class. And what the papers were answering questions that he wrote down, and we had to answer them. I'm talking about just a handful of questions and took that many papers. What I'm saying is that paper came back red all over it. First of all, one reason is I write how I talk, and y'all know how I talk. Sometimes I don't talk right. Secondly, he marked red several times because those questions that he asked me, my first statement was, "The Bible says this." That's how I wrote it. Because I grew up, "Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so." The Bible says this, and I'd answer that question. He wrote on there, and he's a smart man, and he says, "The Bible don't speak." And I understood what he was saying, but if you ask me something, I'm still going to tell you, the Bible says this. Because it is living and quick and powerful. And it comes alive when our faith is in Jesus and we have, holding fast with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's alive. It's alive. It has the answers. The Bible says it has the answers. So, devoted people. People of faith. Faithful people. Folks, we got to be devoted to God's Word. Have to be. Have to be. We have to hold fast. Because this world is full of trouble. And when our confidence is in other things besides in God's Word, we are unfaithful people. Just like in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Hosea married an unfaithful woman because she was not truly devoted to her husband. Folks, to be devoted to Jesus, we got to be devoted to His Word. Got to be. Got to be. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You that You have the answers in all of life. To the big questions and the small questions, the answers in Your Word. Lord, I pray this morning that everyone in here will be devoted to Your Word in such a way that through the power of the Holy Spirit, with Your help, Lord, that we'll be able to live what Your Word says. Simple trust and obedience. But Lord, when we do mess up, may we be in Your Word enough to be convicted so that we'll turn immediately back to You. Help us, Lord, to be zealous, devoted to what You say. We give You praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.